This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're moving on to politics. So Pakatan Harapan's leaders are calling for a political reset after the opposition failed to block the budget from being passed on Tuesday. DAP Secretary General Lim Guan Eng and Amanah President Mohamed Sabu have urged Pakatan Harapan to build a more united opposition and not work with government backbenchers. And that latter bit referenced previous reports that certain UMNO MPs, including Datuk Seri Najib Razak, would vote down the budget and support Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim. So YB Lim and Mat Sabu also asked Pakatan MPs to look beyond the coalition and focus on Pakatan Harapan Plus, which includes Berjuang and Warisan. They stressed that Pakatan Harapan does still support Anwar as their prime minister candidate. However, DAP MPs Dioni Ching, Yeo Bi Yin and Hannah Yeo also posted on social media to weigh in, collectively asking the opposition to offer new hope and have the courage to change. So all of this sounds good. It sounds important. I think, however, it is important also to hear specifics about what that could look like, because I guess I'm wary at this point of politicians, however good they may be, spouting phrases like change and courage and growth, because I think beyond that, we've also been having discussions about how money politics can result in younger politicians not being able to rise in the ranks. We've also heard in Parliament itself, people not necessarily respecting the younger MPs in the House. So yes, we can talk about new hope and courage, but are we actually fostering a political environment where that change is possible? Is there actual political will to grow younger leaders? And also right now, with the opposition looking a bit shaky, where are we in terms of having a strong leader in that direction? So that's what we'll be talking about. And we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about the opposition at the moment? You know, what can they do to reset, to change, to strengthen? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:45 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're taking a look at the opposition now after they failed to block the budget from being passed on Tuesday, and subsequently different Pakatan Harapan leaders have come out to call for a political reset to have the opposition, I guess, regroup and strengthen. So we want to talk about what that looks like, and if you have thoughts on how the opposition has been performing this year, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. I just realised, acknowledging, of course, that the opposition literally only became the opposition this year, actually. It feels like a long time ago, but it did happen in March. Anyway, let us know what you think. In the meantime, we're also going to be crossing over now to Adib Zalkapli, Director at Bauer Group Asia. Adib, thank you so much for joining us. Hi, Adib, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Sorry. This is the, I guess, just what we expect nowadays from technology in 2020. Sorry about that.
So not always.
In your view, what would a viable political reset look like for the opposition?
Well, I think there's no right answer to this. The objective of any opposition front is to win power, yeah? So, and at the moment, we are not heading into a general election anytime soon. So, and, you know, as they say, 1 week is a very long time in politics. So as long as we are not in an election mode, or rather as long as Parliament is not dissolved, it's hard to say how the opposition front should be shaped or how the reset should look like.
With that said, I mean, based on recent statements and recent public statements, do you think that the majority of Pakatan Harapan MPs will continue supporting Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim as opposition leader?
I think the issue is the lack of option, rather than if Anwar has the support of the majority of the opposition MPs. And furthermore, I think changing opposition leader at this stage may not necessarily benefit the opposition parties at the next general election. It only shows a lack of unity in the opposition front. So I think a bit of background, right? Arnaud is a natural choice. I mean, back in February, March, because he leads the largest bloc in the opposition bench. The other alternative, Dr. Mahathir, only had 4 or 5 MPs at the time. So if the question is asked now, because Anwar is seen as a weak opposition leader, I think we have had weaker opposition leader before. And if you remember, in early 2000s, we had Hadi Awang as the opposition leader. And the AP MPs at that time did not challenge his leadership. So given this background and the circumstances, I don't think the current opposition MPs will make a radical move to change the opposition leader.
Now, analysts have also pointed out that ongoing tensions between Anwar and Tun M will only weaken the opposition. Where do you see this relationship going? And for that matter, do you agree with that statement?
Yes. I mean, ideally, the opposition should be united, ignore their differences. Where do I see this relationship going? They have reconciled before, so I won't be surprised if they reconcile again. At the end of the day, the two of them, they share at least one objective to unseat Perikatan Nasional. I mean, they have a lot of disagreements on who should lead, who should be the prime minister and so on, but they do have this one big objective to unseat Perikatan Nasional. So, and also, Perjuang is not really a big party that can undermine PKR control of the opposition politics. So I think I won't rule out reconciliation yet.
So let's also talk about Perjuang. Do you think Pakatan Harapan needs Perjuang at this moment in time?
Well, ideally, they should be working together. I mean, there shouldn't be a divided opposition front, because structurally, three-cornered fight will only split opposition votes. But we saw in 2018 when three-cornered contest with PAS actually benefited Pakatan Harapan, but I think it's too risky for this Pakatan Harapan to ignore Perjuang, given Mahathir's influence, especially in some or in many Malay rural constituencies.
And to talk about another name, today Warisan President Datuk Sri Shafiq Abdal called for fresh leadership as his party looks to expand nationally. What do you make of this, and also of the timing of these remarks?
Well, this actually not the first time a Sabah party is trying to enter national politics.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 90s, PBS, that time led by Pirate, contested in Johor, but without any success, so he abandoned the plan soon after. In today's context, in terms of timing, I think what Shafi is trying to do is trying to fill what a lot of people see as a leadership vacuum on the opposition bench. And also, he just lost the state of Sabah. So I guess to maintain his relevance, he made an attempt to position himself as opposition leader, and also to show that he's trying to fill the leadership vacuum.
And is he a viable replacement to fill that vacuum, you think?
Well, traditionally, opposition leader has to be accepted by at least the plurality of the opposition MPs. You know, maybe not the majority, but the plurality. I think with just 8 MPs at the moment, it's a bit difficult for Shafiq to justify his claim to the opposition leader post.
And in conclusion, Adib, I mean, every time we have this conversation, one element that's brought up, and I agree with it, is the lack of visible young blood or leadership in these parties. In your view, what will it take to seriously address this issue and work towards resolving it?
Well, structurally, our laws don't prohibit the young from taking part in active politics. 21-year-old can contest for membership of the House of Representatives, the Dewan Rakyat. And we've had many members in their 20s mostly from opposition. So I think the issue, I think, is voters' acceptance. Mm-hmm. So as long as the voters, the majority of voters, prefer familiar faces who have invested years or decades in politics, you know, have been everywhere, then we will continue to have older politicians occupying the more senior positions, and it's not going to be easy for the young. As long as voters want people with certain experience who spend certain number of years to be elected.
And so if it's going to come down to voter expectation or voter desires, then is there any sort of way to address that short of actually voting somebody in and letting them accrue experience and so on?
Well, some parties have taken the approach of giving safe seats to younger candidates. That could work. But I think given the fact that there are a lot of older politicians who spend years, you know, eyeing for certain seats or certain positions, I mean, doing that too often may result in split within the party. So it's a risky move. So all political parties have to balance between giving space to young, giving safe seats to young politicians, and also accommodating politicians or party officials who have invested years building their political career.
Adib, thank you so much for weighing in this evening.
Thank you.
That was Adib Zalkapli, director at Bauer Group Asia, talking about, the opposition. And this is coming after leaders from Pakatan Harapan are calling for a political reset for the opposition to really, I guess, regroup and figure things out. So we wanted to know what your thoughts have been on how the opposition have performed this year, and also, what will it take to have that regroup? What do you want to see from them? We have some thoughts that have come in. So Rose says, it used to be the case that these decisions were made by the electorate or the rakyat, but with the advent of a government by appointment, it would appear these decisions are now made by MPs in parliament and in hotel dining halls instead. And the modus operandi is, choose me, like picking teams in a friendly football match. Considering that we have a daily parliament show and we actually play clips of what that sounds like, I find it hard to disagree. I wish I could, but I find it hard to disagree. Aslando says, the opposition should try to be more visible and in a different way, offer something different, be exemplary in a way that appeals to both old and young, unity, new faces, a better narrative would also be good. People are tired of the same old, surprise people. And I think that's absolutely true. The trick there, I suppose, would be in trying to figure out what that visibility would look like and how that narrative is going to be presented. Because when you have different parties purporting to represent different segments of society, I think even something as simple as those terms actually will appear different to different parties. And we also have Cameron Nizam saying, instead of squabbling, might as well do a shadow government to show unity and have some idea of working together. Give us some preview of what it would be like if they win GE15. Rope in even those who are not MPs now to be shadow senators. They even have ex-ministers to do that, which I think is a pretty good idea. Let us know what you think. We're talking about the opposition coming out to say that there needs to be a regroup after the budget, fundamentally. Do you agree? What should that look like? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, to take us to the 7 o'clock news, we have some music. Here's Creedence Clearwater Revival with Bad Moon Rising. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.